Is your business struggling? Do you need a custom business plan to get ahead? All you need to do is ask Sharifa, the premier business consultant who is focused on your success. From digital marketing to business planning, I bring over 25 years of experience to work for you. As a host of three different talk shows, I can get you connected to your audience right away. Visit AskSharifa.com for more information. Do not face the unknown alone.
Good morning, good morning, good morning. And thank you for joining me on another episode of the Roundtable Talk Show. I, of course, am your host, Sharifa Hardy, and I'm bringing you some amazing guests today on only the second show of the new year. Yesterday, we had a lot of fun. We met some new guests. We almost cried. Yesterday's show was so emotional, but I enjoyed it. I enjoy allowing our guests a platform and an opportunity to share their stories, to share their whys, to share why they do what they do and what they do. But I'm going to go ahead and ask you to do what I always ask you to do. And I'm going to continue to ask you in 2021, same thing I asked you in 2020, and that is to go out and be an evangelist for the Roundtable Talk Show. Find someone who's starting out as an entrepreneur. Maybe they're at their day job. Maybe they want to start their own business, but they don't know how. They don't know if they can. Our guests are here to show them how. But our guests can't show them if you don't go ahead and share the show. Please share the show, because friends don't let friends miss out on the Roundtable Talk Show. So I'm going to go ahead and introduce our very first guest. And our very first guest is Miss Martha Holler, branding and image transformation requiring expert articulation of corporate vision, mission, values, identity, and narrative are what set Martha Holler apart. In the past 10 years alone, Holler has managed brand transformations for three publicly traded companies. She also has extensive experience in public relations, media relations, and crisis management, and has frequently appeared in major print and broadcast outlets, including the Wall Street Journal, Washington Post, USA Today, New York Times, CNN, CNBC, The Today Show, Dr. Phil Show, and NPR. Good morning, Martha. How are you?
Good morning, Sharifa. I'm doing great. Thank you. Thanks for having me.
You are so welcome. I read all the names and I'm like, oh, I'm so excited to meet you, because people always want to know, how do I get in names like the magazines and the news outlets that we mention? I mean, it's easy sometimes to get it on a blog, on an article, and I'm not taking that away from anyone, but people want to know how to get their name out there. So Martha, tell us a little bit about yourself, who you are and what you do.
Sure. Thanks. Oh my gosh. And listening to that was so great. I was like, who is that? That sounds like so much fun. I have had just a great ride in PR and communications, working for some big companies until the end of last year. And like many other people, and particularly women, found myself at the end of last year hearing that my job was being eliminated and asking myself, what is it that I want to do? So I have done communications, crisis comm, marketing work, branding work, transformation work, as you included in my bio. But I had to do some self-reflection and figure out, okay, I've been talking about helping companies talk about their purpose for years, but now it's time to figure out what mine is. And at the core, I'm a believer. And I believe that we are all here with a purpose and to shine our light in the world. And that light may be spreading joy, creating hope, sharing compassion, helping other people. And so it was really in that sort of self-assessment that I realized my purpose is to help you shine a light and help you shine brighter, whatever it is that you do. So I'm focused on purpose-driven PR, and I've created a firm called Shine PR, and I have a couple of clients right now, I'd say businesses, but actually a couple of them are nonprofits and small businesses, and I'm getting to do what I love to do and do best, and that is get at the core, like what you are here, why it is that you do what you do, and how do we tell other people about that and help you shine your light a little bit brighter.
And that's amazing, Martha. One of the things that I noticed is you said this transition was last year. And all around the world, we've been transitioning this year. So that to me means that you had at least a double impact of, okay, I thought I was here, now I'm moving here. And now I thought my business was one way, and now I had to pivot and adjust again in another way. Mm-hmm. Personally, how was that for you? How did you maintain your belief and your strength and said, you know what, keep going, Martha?
Well, I'm so glad you asked that. Thank you for asking that. In fact, it was my belief and my faith that was my rock when, after 2.5 decades of working with big companies, like Fortune 500 companies, it really just felt like, one, just such a life change. I mean, that's practically half of my lifetime I've been spending working big businesses. Now what am I going to do? And what I realized was what I thought was just a gut punch of a, you know, a change in my life path, I realized was really just clearing space and creating an opportunity. I mean, it was really just opening up so that I could consider what my purpose is and let that thinking and that kind of flow through me and figure out what my next step is. So I really see it as a blessing and a welcome change. And in speaking with a couple of my closest friends, I was explaining what was going on and how things had gone in the last couple of months. And one girlfriend she paused and we were on a Zoom call like this. She started to nod her head and she said, "You are on a faith walk right now." Mm-hmm. And I said, "I am absolutely on a faith walk right now. And I'm so excited about where it's going to take me."
A faith walk. I like that. I think that's what a lot of people are doing.
That's great.
Is for me as well. Now, Martha, I'm going to come back to you, but I want to go ahead and introduce our next guest. And our next guest is Ms. Brooke Lively. Brooke is the founder of Cathedral Capital, a team of CFOs and profitability strategists who help entrepreneurs turn their businesses into profitable companies. With expertise in growth management, creative problem solving, and profitability strategy, Brooke has been featured in international media, including Forbes, CNBC, and US News and World Report. Good morning, Brooke. How are you?
I'm awesome. And may I just say, I'm going to like flat out say it, I am in CNBC because of Martha.
Oh, wow. 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 What is it like working with Martha?
Oh my gosh, she is amazing. And every time I talk to her, and she did it just now, like she is so passionate both for her clients and for her own company. And she's so well spoken and so articulate. And she takes what I say and reworks it. And then it sounds amazing.
Oh, y'all stop. You stop.
No reason to stop. It's all the truth.
Yes, we're going to have a lot of Martha love today, but I'm going to make a request, Brooke. I don't know where you got that sign or that picture behind you, but I need one. I don't know if we need to take a picture and send it because you were, you know, talking about Martha and I'm like, moolah, dinero, skins, loot, shekels, pink. I'm like, wait a minute. What are we talking about?
Yeah. I need that change. Cold hard cash.
I need that.
This is, I actually did this. It takes very heavy inspiration from an artist named Mel Bochner. Mm-hmm. And when I moved into our offices about 3.5 years ago, I'm like, I need something big for this wall. And so I worked with a printer here to have it printed. And interestingly, when you become a client of ours, we send you a small version of this. So Sharifa, give me your address and I'll pop one in the mail for you.
Absolutely.
It's desk size, not wall size, but you know.
No, absolutely. I'm going to send that over because I really like that. You know, one of the things that I talk about and people talk to me sometimes, they say, Sharifa, all you talk about is money. Like that's what they tell me. Like my friends, like all you talk about is money. And I'm like, it's not about the money. It's about what we have and what we're able to do with money. I'm one of those people who want to feed a lot of people, hire a lot of people, create organic farms so we can feed ourselves, be self-sustainable. But all of those things require, you know, eradicate homelessness, but it requires money. Just not the I want to feel good. You know, you got to get that moolah, y'all.
Yeah. So we talk about that a lot. We talk about profit and that there are different kinds of profit. There's, you know, this kind of profit, moolah, dinero, cold hard cash, but there are other kinds of profit. And that can include things like being able to, we had a client and for her profit was being able to go to her children's swim lessons on Wednesday morning. We had another client and her definition of profit was being able to advocate on a national level for women who were getting divorced. Profit comes in all kinds of places. And it and so for you, getting profit from your business, your profit is your ability to help others.
Yes.
And that's huge. And yes, it does take cash. Mm-hmm. And we talk a lot about profit plans. We don't like the word budget. But we like profit plans because what that is it tells us what money we get to spend to be able to create the profit that we want in our lives.
Okay, so let's talk about, this is I think our term for this today's show, the faith walk. Why is this your faith walk, Brooke?
So I ended up here kind of oddly. This wasn't originally my plan. And, I've got all the required letters after my name that I was actually running a family business. And we had hired a coach to help us with sales. And his clients started coming to me and saying, can you do for us what you do for your family? And I thought, I'm not doing anything in particular. And that was when I found out that most people who own businesses don't like the numbers part of their business. They're intimidated by it. They don't understand it. They don't understand their financials. And I am so passionate about helping those people because they really feel isolated. And bankers and other people make them feel dumb, not intentionally, but they use words that they don't know. They talk about things that they just don't recognize. And I think there are a lot of businesses that don't thrive because they're intimidated by their numbers. And these people are smart and they are passionate. And I want to help them succeed and have whatever definition of profit is theirs.
Mm-hmm. I definitely agree. One of the things I talk about on the show, but most people aren't aware of, is I went to college to be an accountant. But I just, you see me, like my energy, could you just imagine me sitting in a cubicle all day counting up pennies? I'd be like, no.
Sharifa, they told me I should be an accountant. I'm like, I have way too much personality to be an accountant.
Exactly. It's no offense, because, I have to say this to any accountants, CPAs or anything, but it's not how I want to spend my day. I'm a people person. I love talking to people. I love speaking to people. So I completely understand. So it's not always the things that you don't want to do, as far as the numbers, is find somebody who that's what they want to do. They want to look at numbers. They want to make sure my plan is on. Have at it. Brooke, I enjoy speaking with you. I'm going to come back to you. I want to go ahead and introduce our next, shall I say, guest. So we have the lovely Miss Barbara and the lovely Alexandra, the mother-daughter duo. So their company is a female-owned shop for good online retailers of fine art, inspirational accessories that empower you to channel your strength, activate your gifts, and manifest your destiny. Their company was founded in 2020 by their mother-daughter team, Barbara and her daughter, Alexandra. Good morning, ladies. How are you?
Good morning. We're thrilled. Yes. We're so excited to be here with you ladies. It's so exciting to hear everyone's backgrounds and meet you all. And I'm excited to work with you. My mom and I are both sitting here like, oh, we need to talk to each of these ladies. So we're thrilled to be here. Thank you for having us.
Thank you.
You are so welcome. See, Brooke says she's going to send me a painting. So now I'm going to go shopping in your background because I'm like, I like that lamp. I like that fan. I like all of that in the background. It's so beautiful. You ladies are just so beautiful.
Oh, thank you. We were joking earlier. I'm sure we all deal with like backgrounds and we had like this like branded background, but we were coming in and out like all morning thinking this is going to get really awkward with everyone. So we just were keeping it real with you. So working remote today. Thank you.
I like to keep it real. So what's the name of your company?
So our company is Sisu Moi and we were founded in April of 2020. And we are a mother-daughter brand. My mom is the artist behind the brand, and I have a marketing background. So we'd been talking, I guess it was 2019, we were talking about we'd love to take art, her art, from the gallery to the streets and empower people to live their best life. We have a lot of fellow-minded ladies on the call this morning. We're very purpose-driven. You know, it is hard starting a business. We're also on our faith walk of believing in our gifts and empowering others to believe in their gifts. So we provide inspirational accessories like tech accessories, phone covers, apparel, home goods, all with my mother's fashion illustrations and glamour portraits of people and their pets. So it's been a fun ride, a lot of learning so far, big goals for 2021, and just thrilled to be here and kick off the year in this roundtable with you ladies.
That is wonderful. And then, you know, I'm Sharifa Hardy. I have to ask the hard questions. Now, my mother and I are very close, but I don't know if we could work together. Right? Because my mom would tell me to do something. I'd be like, oh, mom. And then I figure out mom was right. You know, mom's usually right. My mom especially, you know, she has all the degrees, all the experience. She's, you know, my mom is wonderful. But how is it, this question is for mom, how is it working together as a mother-daughter duo?
You know, it's really great. We have a relationship that, I mean, we are mother and daughter, but we're also best friends.
Oh, so you could tell.
Really lucky, you know. Yeah. And during COVID, we've been together every day with my husband, who is also working in the house. And, you know, we're so fortunate that we do have a home large enough to contain all of us and our pets, our business, and we all get along really well. So we're fortunate. I know it can be unusual. I don't think this is necessarily the norm. But we have a great time together. We think very much alike. My daughter has much better business expertise than I do. So it's kind of the brains behind this business. And we're using my artwork and putting it on products. And we're thinking, you know, this is a way to bring it to the general public at affordable prices. Most people can't afford to buy paintings that are in galleries. You know, they're big, they're too expensive, but they like the artwork. So, you know, we thought, well, maybe this is a way to really accelerate bringing art to everybody.
No, when I've been speaking to authors on the show, one of the things that I've been told is that they've been planning this book that they released during COVID for the last 10 years or 5 years or 30 years, but now was the perfect time. Yeah, as an artist, I'm pretty sure you've been an artist probably all of your life. Was it the whole global pandemic where you guys sat down and said, you know what, now is the time?
Well, not really. We had thought about it prior to the pandemic, and it was just as simple as printing something on a cup, one of my paintings, and we thought, wait a minute, you know, we could print on other things. And so my daughter started using my images and putting them on different products.
Like cell phone covers.
That's awesome.
All kinds of things. Yeah.
Wait, I want to see that one again. I didn't see that one.
Oh, so we got a little paint on it. Just a little in the works, but this is a glamour portrait that my mom did of actually one of our friends. And so we started putting them on phone covers. This is actually where our idea started. And as we did that, here's some of my mom's like retro illustrations.
Men's
from
fashion illustration.
Yeah.
Okay. I am this show gonna be all about me, unlike other shows. But can you draw a picture of me? I want a picture of me on a phone case.
I sure can.
I want that, and then we gonna get it out there. Tell me what it costs. I'll make it. But I think that is, I love custom. Like if I had my face mask right now, which is in the car, I would show it to you. It has Ash Sharifa on my face mask, and so I'm walking around town, and people are looking. They're like, What are you doing over there, Brooke? I see you, Brooke. You got to talk, Brooke, so we can see you on the camera.
Look at it. My face mask has my company logo on it.
Yes.
That's great.
You got to do that.
But isn't that such a great conversation piece, though?
It is. Yes. We actually did some masks with my mom drew lips and did one for men and women. And it was really funny when we were doing it because it was just like this flat image, a 2D image. But when it's printed, it is like your nose pops where the nose is, mm-hmm. the lips are pushed out. There's like contouring makeup. And people would either say, oh my God, like that freaked me out, or I love that. I have to have it. And the men's was hysterical. So we've had a lot of, masks, we have to have some personality while we're in this weird, now.
That's great. I saw your website, but I didn't look for this in particular. I probably should have. I was just glancing through, but do you have an aspect where people can upload pictures and create their custom images? I think that would be amazing.
You know, that's our next step.
Yes.
Neophytes. I mean, we've just kind of started. So, I think that would be a great thing to add. And I think people would really respond to that, to customize them. But we haven't yet, but I think that's a 2021 definite.
Yeah.
2021 definite. I'm telling you, from a business consultant, people don't mind paying more for custom. Because it's custom, they'll pay more and they will wait longer. They understand it's made specifically for them. So it's going to take some time. It's not a cookie cutter, off the shelf, something. You ladies are amazing. I'm going to come back to you. I want to go ahead and introduce our next guest who has been waiting so patiently, Miss Alda Karen, now 25, started consulting at only 19 when she was VP of sales and marketing for the biggest production company in Iceland. Her talks were mostly about sales and marketing, but soon the subject of her talks evolved into life itself and how we can unlock our minds to reach our fullest potential. Today, she mainly works as an international speaker, but runs two companies on the side, as well as being an investor at only 25. Good morning, Alda Karen. How are you?
Hi. Wow. What an introduction. Thank you. But I'm 27.
Hey, that's not my fault. Don't blame me. I just read what you send me.
Take the younger. Just go with the one way.
Okay. But it's okay. 25, 26, 27, tomato, tomato, moolah, dinero. It doesn't matter. You're here today.
Oh, yeah.
You're under 30.
I love this, so I'm going to tell everyone you thought I was 25. I think it's great.
I did.
The new face cream is working.
It is. I need some of that too. Since I'm getting a picture from Brooke, I'm getting a case from Alexandra and Barbara. I'm going to need some face cream from you, Alda.
Got it. I love that you mentioned authors because actually, this is the publishing date of my first book. My first book came out this morning.
Oh, congratulations.
Congratulations.
Can we see it?
Can you see it? Yes. Here you go. It's in Icelandic, though, so you won't understand it. But direct translation is the Life Bible. It contains 50 life keys, stories, and secrets.
Ooh,
very
fun.
But we'll definitely be translated into English. But yeah, it's around kind of just like unlocking the doors to opportunity. Like one young woman's experience of the world.
What are some of the secrets?
That's what I'm saying. We waited
for the secrets.
I'll give you one secret, but it's just between us, right?
And okay, no. That's not a deal. I'm not agreeing to that. You have secrets. I'm at least need two.
Well, one secret, which is very popular, is that I never set any goals for myself. I only have values. So every New Year's Eve, like I write down my values of the year, and if I've like gone through them and just really abided by them, similar to how like I run the companies, just like one of my like biggest values is like I am enough. So like I always meet myself halfway. I don't try to be something that I'm not, and just be kind of completely vulnerable in everything I do. So each night when I like lay my head on the pillow, I ask myself, was I vulnerable in like every situation today? Like, was I completely myself? And then, like, did I tell myself that I was enough and meet myself halfway through the workday? Because, you know, life is flow. It's not always just still ocean and great things. So you have to like meet yourself where you're at in every scenario. So I have like this secret where I like, I do 20 minutes of amazing work. You know, you do like 10 emails that are all great. And then I get 2 hours where I just like browse hot tubs. So like,
okay, I
try
that,
not
I
to judge
I
myself.
That. Rewind. You browse hot tubs?
Yes. It's my lifelong dream to get my own hot tub.
Oh, wow.
You know, one day.
Well, I want a hot tub too. Thank you for dreaming. I want a hot tub.
Right?
Yes, if you get one, exactly. Get two. I'm just saying, dream big.
Definitely. I'll send you a face cream and a hot tub. You got it.
Thank you, Martha. I'm enjoying this show. I am enjoying this show a lot. Let me just ask you, usually when we tell ourselves, because I understand what you're saying, I am enough. It's usually because we've gone through a period of our life when we've either questioned whether we were enough or we have felt that we weren't enough. What motivated you to start looking at yourself, looking yourself in the mirror, looking yourself in the face and saying, I am enough?
I think it's because I was lucky enough to have good success very young. But that meant I had a big case of imposter syndrome. Mm-hmm. So for example, when I was VP of sales and marketing at a big production company and we were working on huge projects such as, you know, Interstellar by Christopher Nolan and like all the major Hollywood movies who had any budget to go to Iceland to film, we would do their production service. And I had such imposter syndrome. I didn't feel like I belonged there. And I didn't believe I had worked hard enough for it. So, and no one would really respond to my emails when I was trying to get meetings because like they would just read a female name. So I made up two male assistants. Just completely made them up, created an email account under like a fake name. I think their director station is like Steven and Mario. And basically sent out like, Steven was sending out emails like, hi, I'm booking meetings for our VP of marketing. Like, what's your availability? And like, you know, the answers just skyrocketed from there. And it worked really well. So I would just always try to like, I don't know, trying to find like backdoor ways into, you know, getting meetings and like getting myself ahead and stuff until I like woke up one day and I was just like, this is not how I want to live my life. You know, I want to just be myself and like make that be enough. But so I like, instead of trying to make it in the world as it was, I decided to like be the change that I wanted to see in the world and just be myself. And kind of like that kind of woke me up, this huge imposter feeling and having to be someone you're not.
That is powerful though. But that's something I would do. I haven't done that yet, but that is really something I would do by inventing people. But I just want to know, do you feel that these invisible made up people got that response simply because they were males? Or is there an aspect of it that they may have gotten a response because they're an assistant? An assistant always has someone to answer to. So people usually tend to take them a little bit more serious because they're like, okay, Alda's not just this little girl. She's someone who has a team of people that she's responsible for. Let me take her a little bit more serious.
Yes, definitely. I mean, it's really just, yeah, playing the game. It was a little bit of both. So there's a lot of like, I mean, for me, life is a game. And that's why
I like you. I say that all the time. I tell people life is a game. The only people who think that life is not a game are the people who are losing. That's what I say. I don't know if it's right or wrong, but I do believe that.
Yeah. And
there's
like,
no, it's all a game.
But exactly. And to play the game of life, you have to do self-work, right? Because the goal of life is to grow. And I believe like all of our life purpose, but I mean, I agree with you, we're here for a reason, but I do believe everyone's purpose is to grow. And I think that's a big part of the faith walk and just the faith in yourself, because, you know, as you know, faith can move mountains, but doubts create them. Mm. So I believe my faith walk was to get over all of my doubts and kind of evaporate the mountains by evaporating the doubts and trying to like talk to my brain a lot. So when my brain would give me all of the doubts and all the doubts voices, I would like sit down and talk to it and talk it down. And like, that's how I was playing the game, by doing self-work, by talking to myself in my mind and journaling and stuff like that. I always felt more like a winner after each day.
Do you have a podcast?
No, I do not, unfortunately.
Okay, 2020, we gonna start your podcast. The world needs to hear more of your thoughts and your views. This, Martha, what are we gonna do with all the over here?
We're gonna take you far and wide. You have wisdom that is so beyond a 25 or 27 year old. I mean, wow.
Thank you very much.
Lives trying to eliminate negative self-talk. I mean, that is just, I mean, just talk about sheer willpower and mental strength. Good for you.
Keep talking all that.
But once my book is translated, I'll make sure to send a copy to each of you.
I'll receive that. So now that's face cream, a hot tub, and a book from all of them. I'm keeping track.
What are you contributing here?
I give you a platform. We got all the people watching. Let me say hi to Darren, who's watching. Jesse Owen Collinger says hello from Iowa. We got Doc Prof, Ephraim Davy, Jijik Malone. Everybody who's tuning in to watch the show, welcome. I'm giving you a platform, a contribution. I'm making the world aware of all of you wonderful ladies. Is that not enough?
Woo! That's great. Where's the hot tub? Where's the party? Face creams.
What led to your, what kind of triggered this? I'm going to write this down and turn this into a book. And Brooke, I happen to know that you've written several books as well. I'm interested in hearing your answer to that too. I'm so fascinated by that.
Yeah. I've been journaling since I was a very, very young child, and a total book nerd, of course. But somewhere along the way, I stopped reading Star Wars comics and started reading self-help books. and then I kind of started applying that to everyday life, kind of unsubconsciously, I feel like, and journaling a lot. And then I started talking about it with people, and then I got amazing success very young, and everyone wanted to know what I did. So I just started doing like small lectures, and that kind of just blew up. And now I've spoken in like 4 continents and one of the biggest auditoriums in New York, City Field Baseball Stadium. Just like, wow. I don't know. I'm still on my faith walk, and I've been for 8 years, and it's, you can do a lot. And really, honestly, like, the more self-work I do, the better I do in life. So I really, really believe that for everyone.
Yeah.
Well, there's a great saying, personal growth precedes business growth. Mm-hmm. Your company can only grow as much as you can. Mm-hmm. You're the limit.
That is so true. That's a good saying. I like that.
So Brooke, Martha had the same question for you.
I've written, 4 or 5 books, and they all revolve around the same thing. It's the frustration that business owners feel not knowing their numbers. So the first book I actually wrote was about receiverships. It was targeted specifically for attorneys that don't know how to do these things called receiverships. I was a receiver. I wrote the book on it. But now I write, and the second one's coming out. The first book was From Panic to Profit. Mm-hmm. And it's how 6 key numbers can make a 6-figure difference. So I've written it for entrepreneurs. I've written it for attorneys. We don't know which one we're writing next, but my publisher keeps sending me mock-ups of the new, cover. She's all excited. But it is to help people. It's to talk about the language of numbers and how to use your numbers and how not to be scared of them. Mm. So
I like that.
What's an example of one of the numbers can you break that down a little bit?
Yeah. So I think the first number that's really important is your cash flow forecast. And it's knowing how much money you're going to have at the end of every week for the next 6 to 8 weeks. So you guys all own businesses, and in general, money does not flow out at the same rate every day or every week, nor does it come in at the same rate every day or every week. You know, the first and third weeks of the month are just, I mean, they're tough as a business owner because you've got rent and you've got payroll. And that's tough. And I promise you, most of your clients don't pay you in the first week of the month because they just got your bill. They want to pay you at the last. They want to pay you on the 30th. So knowing what your cash flow looks like gives you so much flexibility and so much confidence. So like Alda, you were talking about, am I enough? And everything you were talking about to me is also being centered and confident. And knowing how much cash you're going to have gives you that confidence to move forward. And it gives you the ability to make changes in advance of a cash crunch.
Yes, I definitely agree. I want to go over to Alexandra and Barbara real quick. When we start talking about the numbers and the profits, and we have sometimes, see, because I'm the artist in my Ash Sharifa land, I'm the creative. And at 3 o'clock in the morning, I come up with these wonderful ideas, right? And the business-minded people on my team are like, Sharifa, wait a minute, let's think this through. Let's look at the numbers. Let's look at the campaigns. And I'm like, no, I just want to do it. Is there any, you know, between the artist and the business mind, sometimes where you have a little, you know, question on, is this something we should do, something we should put on hold? Do you ever have that conversation?
Yeah, we do.
We do.
I mean, it's yeah. Definitely like with each, I remember when I was in corporate America, I had a great boss and he'd always say to me when I would bring something to him, what are the conversion rates? What is the audience? What are you projecting? You have to be able to answer those questions. And those are hard questions for vendors, conferences, people that are pitching you to answer. You know, what are the success rates of the previous people that you work with? But I think we've gotten, you know, pretty confident asking those questions. So we have a better understanding of, all right, this person's new. We really don't know what we're going to bring in, but our gut, trust your gut, mm-hmm. is saying, go for it. You know, so we have a lot of conversations about that when considering working with people. I think also looking at campaigns and what's performing well, what's not, we all do that. And that can be hard, especially in startup mode, because, you know, you have a lot of people that just are your friends and family that love you and are supporting you, but they're not your target market. So learning who your target market, what are the real numbers, and being patient to get for that, you know, that can be hard. That's a challenge as a startup. But I think it's, you know, just being confident and believing in your product and thinking of what are our skill sets now that can scale the fastest, so we can bring in the cash flow we're looking for to hire people that possess the skill sets that we don't have to take it even further. So it's just being strategic. But I love, Brooke, about, you know, talking about the confidence and centeredness that you have, knowing that, hey, I love this conversation, but this is not a 2021 conversation. We were pitched by a TV show and we were all excited and they said, we want to have you on for our mother-daughter Mother's Day special. And we were like, oh, this is so great. Let's do it. We get on and they're like, wonderful, ladies. So it's $54,000. And, you know, we were like, wait, what?
Mm-hmm. So sorry, that is not in the profit plan.
And we started laughing. What was that, Martha?
I can help you filter those opportunities
out. Okay, thank you. I mean, we were so excited, and it had national distribution, and it's exactly what, you know, one of our goals would be, but we just, you know, we try to stay candid with people and protect their time as well as our own, that, hey, this is just not, you know, in startup mode, we're not at that point, but let's definitely stay in touch. So we have to be real with ourselves, with our vendors, and just, you know, try to provide referrals where it doesn't make sense for you, but for others, we always try to help people, but it's tough. You know, each thing is, when you're new, it's a tricky decision until you have the experience to touch on that experience you've had before.
Yes. Hey, can I I love that you guys said no.
Yes.
Because I've had clients, what is it about TV that people get so excited? They're like, yeah, I'll pay whatever. I had a client who was paying $10,000 a month. And Martha, I know that you said you'd help filter these things out. I know that you put parameters on anything like this that one of your clients does, but we had a client that was paying $10,000 a month for TV. We, as their CFOs, tried to put some parameters around it. We asked all those questions that you were talking about, you know, what's the return? What are we going to see? How long is it going to take? And they were like, we should be getting, like, I think it was double our money back in clients after 3 months. Well, after 3 months and $30,000, they had gotten back, I don't know, maybe $2,000.
Oh, wow.
And I'm like, we're cutting this off. And I don't know what salesperson that TV station had, but they managed to convince my client to go on for two more months. So $50,000 in, probably $4,000 in revenue from it. I'm just like, you get a big applause for realizing that's not the thing to do right now.
Yeah, I mean, I think it has its upsides and its downsides. See, if I were Alexandra and Barbara and somebody gave me that $54,000 number, I would have said no as well. But I would have said, you know what? They see something there. And I would have taken that $54,000, which probably would have cost me about $5,000 to $10,000, and produced my own show. That's what I would have done personally. Now, I had a client that I used to work with, and a TV show brought them this whole offer on what they were going to do. And they wanted to charge them $32,000 to go ahead and put them on television. And they asked me my opinion. And I looked at what they were offering and I told them no. And the main reason was, I said, they're charging you only for production. So their show wound up, they went with it. Their show wound up being on television. And the aspect that they sold them on is that their show would be on the show's website forever. It would be archived. However, what I tried to explain to had their website set up is, and after that, nobody could actually find them. So it was very interesting. And I agree and I applaud you as well for saying no, but see the gold in it. See the fact that they saw, I always take meetings with people who try to pitch me stuff just to see what they see. No matter what, if I sign or not, I'm like, well, what do they see in me? So maybe that's an idea for you.
That's very good advice. Yeah, it really is, because I don't think we were consciously looking at it that way.
Yeah, we were kind of, you know, and some of the question, you know, like, how did you hear, like, how did you find us? We've done some PR, but, you know, we do have a little TV show, but it's not, you know, it's not aired. It's not on, you know, anywhere. It's just on YouTube and on our
website. Okay, but don't you know there are 12-year-olds? I saw an article the other day. I think the most viewed YouTube video of all time or 2020 was like an 8-year-old. You know what I mean?
Oh, is that the package unwrapping child or the toy demo child? Kid.
Yes.
Dude, his parents are like raking it in. College, paying for college, not a problem.
Yes. Please do not knock YouTube or Amazon Prime. Amazon, you can put any show on Amazon Prime. I would put the Roundtable Talk Show on Amazon Prime. I just have to get rid of the Zoom logo. Once I can get rid of the Zoom logo, the Roundtable Talk Show is on Amazon Prime.
Sharifa, that is just a matter of money.
I know.
That we can do.
I'm talking to you, Brooke. I'm getting a lot from Brooke. Brooke, give me the ideas, the paintings. You know, I'm getting a lot from this show, but look at, I'm telling you, even people who try to get me to market or do whatever service I always take the meeting. That's my rule of thumb. I take all kind of meetings. Just, I'm like, well, what do you think I should do? I can play blonde so well. Like, what do you think? Never thought of that.
Well, and listen, we shouldn't totally knock TV. There are times when that does make sense. But just like you were talking, Alexandra and Barbara, about, I think you were describing like a creative brief to understand like what's your objective and what's the message you want to convey and who is your audience. All those same types of questions need to be going through your mind when you're assessing a paid opportunity, because there are times when, no, that's going to be a really efficient way to share your message with a broad audience or a geo-targeted audience, depending on what the opportunity is, et cetera. And there are times when it doesn't make sense, you know, because of the life cycle of where you are with your firm, or you have alternatives that would, you know, produce more results, et cetera. But I just got to make a plug. It's not always negative, but I totally agree. I think it was great that you said no, because I think there are probably other ways you can get your message out right now that may be more cost efficient for you.
Well, and Martha, I'm so glad that you jumped in, because as this whole conversation was going around, I'm like, what are those questions you ask? How do you make that decision if a paid opportunity is right or not for you?
And some of it's understanding what is your goal? If you're looking to create awareness, that's great. If you're looking for the audience to take an action, you need to be a little bit more discerning. And, you know, one of the things that we used to do in some of the big companies that I was a part of was we would have to demonstrate that we had explored the alternatives. So if we're going to invest a dollar, $51,000, $54,000, whatever it is, need to show, okay, here's what I expect to get awareness wise or traffic to website wise or engagement wise or whatever. And here are a couple of other ways I could spend that money. And it was when you would look sort of horizontally across those various opportunities, sometimes your decision became really easy to make or very, very clear, like, yep, that is the way to go. Or no, that's not going to be the path I'm going to take this time. I'm going to pursue something else.
That's never been easier to track that, of course, too, because right now with Facebook and Instagram, and Brooke, you're going to like this, like, it's all a numbers game today. Mm-hmm. Like, performance marketing is how I drive all my companies today. And it's really easy for me to predict the ROAS numbers based on how much I put in and I expect to get out. So like, there are, doesn't matter if it's Facebook, Instagram, Snapchat, TikTok, it's all a numbers game.
It doesn't matter if it's television, it's all a numbers game.
So the and it is. Is.
The key to me would be the focus on if their focus for their $50,000 is production, I tend to go to no. If their focus for the $50,000 is distribution, then I tend to be more inclined to have that conversation. What is the distribution? What are the numbers? What is the reach? What are the eyeballs? Is this a one-time placement? Am I going to spend $40,000 of your $50,000 to produce the show? I'm going to air it on a Tuesday night at 11 p.m. when everyone's asleep, and that's the only time it's going to air. Those are the things that I focus on versus the production, which you can get a camera yourself for $500 these days. You know, people are producing shows that go to all of these awards, you know, shows and film festivals is what I'm looking for, and they're producing them from their iPhones. So it's like,
I think it's, you know, Martha, you had a great point about, you know, what is the goal of that campaign. And I think another thing to consider is what is the life cycle of that campaign.
Yes.
And we did some press. We got picked up by some pretty big news outlets, and we were really excited, and our traffic on our website went from like up 400% from a couple press releases, but they weren't converting. Right. So understanding, okay, is this brand credibility that we're going for? Mm-hmm. Is if it's traffic, where is that campaign driving to? What is the conversion of that landing page? And how are what are the flows that are built into those landing pages to nurture them, to build them into having a conversation? So it's all a learning process, you know, but, you know, these are great points, ladies. Like, what's the, you know, is it production? Is it distribution? If it's distribution, where's it going? How's it closing? You know, and that's, it is really important when making those decisions. So, you know, next time we do something like that, you know, there's going to be a whole flow built into, you know, where that traffic drives. Yeah. So it's good to hear, you know, that everybody has some experience with that on the call, because you don't want to waste your money, you know, doing that. And that's, you know, part of the process when you're in the beginning.
Yeah. And Alexandra, I love that you were kind of talking about, like, what's the outcome that you want? So we had a client who went on Shark Tank.
Oh, wow.
Oh, wow.
And
love Shark Tank.
There were a lot of conversations before he went on. And he wasn't actually going on to get an investment. He didn't need the investment. He went on purely for the PR. And he will say, I'm the company that Shark Tank built. And that was $1 million appearance for him.
Wow.
He went on and did that. And he knew. And the sharks knew. That like totally cracked me up. Like they had these discussions beforehand. And
but that's leveraging. That's leveraging every appearance. Because I want to go back to something when we were talking to Alexander and Barbara earlier, and you mentioned friends and family. And I keyed in on that, but then we went in a different direction. I want to come back to friends and family, because one of the things that I noticed as a business consultant, I analyze and review a lot of websites. And I can look at a website and say, okay, change this, move this, add this, fix this. And you will see with the same amount of traffic that you currently have, your sales actually increase. People don't always take a look at their call to action or what information is above the fold. But the reason I brought that up is when I tell them to do these things, they'll say, you know what? All of my friends and everyone in my family looked at it and they said, oh, I love it. And I'm like, that's because they love you. You know,
they love you.
You know, but it's those little things that really convert.
Exactly. Yeah. And it's so true. You know, it's like you'll have your friends and family love you so hard and, you know, it's great. But in the end of the day, that's not necessarily the honest feedback that right. you need. So surrounding yourself with mentors and like-minded people that have experience is essential, because that honesty could, you know, really scale your business growth. So
yes.
the best use of friends and family for business owners is good reviews on Amazon.
Yes. Absolutely. Absolutely.
Yes.
And they don't
have
know.
To say my friends and family have gotten me on the Amazon bestseller list.
Yes.
I'm not embarrassed to say it.
Yes. That's amazing. That's though. Great. That's great.
It is.
Yeah, it's great. But in something that you guys said earlier that I liked, you talked about bringing in experts. And let's be really honest. None of us, I know virtually nothing about marketing. I can look at the numbers, but I don't know what to do. I don't know how to get on CNBC. Like, that's why you call somebody like Martha in. And it's knowing where you have, and I don't want this to sound bad, but where you have deficits in your knowledge.
Yes.
It's in all that, it's getting that awareness of who you are and being kind to yourself. I'm never going to be a marketing expert. Like, it's not my bliss, and I'm not going to beat myself up about it.
And the reverse is true, because I'll break out in hives when I start thinking about the financials, but boy, I can help you with a narrative and a storyline. Like, let's crystallize your message. Nothing.
Yeah.
Be more excited, or, you know, I get my kicks. Similarly with creative, Alexandra and Barbara, like, oh my gosh, I don't know what the color palette should be and, you know, how to emphasize the design to really enhance the points that I want to make. But that's where I would trust your expertise. I know that you know how to do that. So I agree. I think you need to find folks with complementary skills and offerings to
round out. Yes, definitely.
And don't be afraid to hire that out.
Yeah.
And I think Alda had such a wise, our young wise one on the call had such a great point earlier about imposter syndrome. And I think like everybody goes through that. And well, I've been there myself. And, you know, there's times in your life where you can fall off your faith walk and you can be focused on, this is part of my job, so I have to kill it here, but I suck at that. You know, it's not my skill set, you know, but I'm trying to move this forward and let's keep pushing. And sometimes people get lost pushing against something that isn't naturally aligned with their gifts and with their purpose. And it's a really cool wisdom to, I am enough, meaning I know my skill set. I can try to develop this as like a side hustle, but this really isn't my purpose and why I'm here. And, you know, I think like,
if you want to take it like a level deeper too, like, I love going deep, guys. I wouldn't know, like, I'm a human without other humans, you know, I am because you are. And I think that's like, that's what makes us human, the connection of helping each other. Like, why are you human? What makes us human? Like, we connect through helping and supporting each other.
Yes, yeah, that's powerful. Really, and I'm gonna tune into your podcast. I'm definitely out, you know, whenever you launch it, I'm putting some more work on your desk, on your plate, between you and Martha. Let me know when this podcast is coming out. I'm gonna sit down and talk to you on it. I don't know, but we have to have it. Now, we are coming down to the last few minutes of the show. We only have a few minutes left. And what I love to do at the end of every show is just simply allow my guests the opportunity to speak directly to the audience, to everyone who is watching this show live, as well as everyone who is watching it in the archives, and let them know what you want them to take away from your appearance here today. And we're going to start with you, Brooke.
What do I want you to take away? You don't have to struggle with your financials. They're not that scary. It's just words that you don't know, and anybody can learn them, and reach out to somebody to get help.
And if they need help and you can help them, they can find you.
They can find me at capcap.com, C-A-T-H-C-A-P. My company's called Cathedral Capital. Couldn't get that URL, but we got CapCap. So you can find me.
You gotta take what you can get. Love it, Brooke. Alda, what do you have for us? Yes. Alda, what do you have for us?
I bucked out there. I'd say, wow, you're worth more than what you get done in a day. I think I'd say to a lot of people now after 2020, your self-worth does not stand and fall with how much you get done with your personal life or your business life. So make sure you know that. And you can find me on Instagram, Alta Karen H. Well, I with English accent, it's Alta Karen H.
Okay, well, love it. We'll check you out. Alexandra.
Well, it's been a pleasure. Thank you all for watching. It's exciting to connect with people, especially in COVID life. I think everybody's like-minded on this call, and our listeners, hoping that we resonated with you as well as it relates to finding your gifts, believing in yourself, trusting your gut no matter what, despite COVID, despite this or that. You can find us on Sisu Moi Life on Instagram. We do have a newsletter. We do Sisu stories monthly. So just as my mom found her gift at age 2 and continued with her dream, we also honor Sisu leaders, which is a Finnish term of strength in overcoming adversity. And so we have a monthly video where we highlight a Sisu leader. So take a look at that. We have sisumoi.com/sisumoi TV, and think of us as you think about people for gifts and empowering them to live their best life.
Wonderful. Thank you. Barbara.
I would say let art be your fashion. And that's, you know, that's really using art to bring it into your everyday life, either in, you know, your clothing or home goods, that kind of thing. I mean, I think that there's a real synergy there that people can really discover and enjoy.
Thank you for that. I've truly enjoyed this show. What do you think, Martha?
Well, I've really enjoyed it too. Thank you so much, Sharifa, for hosting this and for including us on today.
You're so welcome.
From my standpoint, I'll just take it back to where I started, and that is, I believe we all have a purpose here, and we have a light to shine in the world. And whether that is giving a gift to other people by helping them, or sharing compassion or joy, or providing a service, I want to help you shine your light and shine it brighter. And that's why I founded Shine PR. And if I can help you do that, reach out to me. On probably the best way is just hit me up directly on Twitter, Martha Holler, or on LinkedIn, and let's talk about your purpose and how we're gonna spread the word about it.
Thank you. I just wanna thank you all for being guests on today's episode of the Roundtable Talk Show. And I especially wanna thank everyone who tuned in to watch the show live, as well as everyone who is watching it in the archives. But please don't just watch the show. Don't just share the show. Visit our guests, support our guests. Their information is in the Facebook post. Tell a friend, let them know. follow them on social media. And when you do, when you send them that first message, when you reach out to them, please let them know Sharifa Hardy says hi. Now, if you're interested in more ways that I can help your business, or maybe you want to be a guest on the Roundtable Talk Show, please visit my website at asksharifa.com. Until tomorrow morning at 8 a.m. Pacific, everyone have a safe and a blessed day. Bye now.
Struggling to increase your sales or website conversions? Are you looking for new ways to promote your business through social media or any other campaign? If yes, then you're at the right place. Ask Sharifa has 25 years of experience and the track record to guide you to success. From business planning to social media marketing, from website designing to website development, from search engine optimization to paid traffic, we will research your business, your products and/or services, and the competition to develop a custom growth strategy for your business. Contact us now, and we will help you bring your business growth to the next level. For more information, visit www.asksharifa.com.